to be in the house of God. The will of God is to be in the Word of God. The will of God is to, following the Great Commission, to share the Word of God, share the gospel with others. And the will of God covers all Christians, certainly, for sure, but there's also that individual will of God. And that's what we've been talking about over these last couple of weeks in these lessons. And as noted in our first part of the introductions, the greatest thing, discovery you'll ever make is the perfect will of God for your life. And the greatest thing you'll ever do is to pursue it. And I trust that's where you are in your life. You're in the known will of God. You're in the perfect will of God as far as you know. And if you're not there, you're looking for it. You're seeking it. Because we noted seeking his will, that for Roman numeral 1, the three steps, searching, submitting to it, and doing it with sincerity. In other words, not just making a profession having good intentions, but finding it, pursuing it, and living it for God. And the two steps noted in Roman numeral 2 with the presentation and transformation, Romans 12, 1 and 2 certainly speak to that. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, and then be transformed, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We want to be in the perfect will of God. And I can't, as I am, who I am, but being transformed. And that comes by the renewing of our mind through the Word of God. And so presenting yourself, finding the will of God, seeking it, and submitting to it with sincerity, and then presenting your body, I know what it is, Lord, I'm all yours. Use me to your glory. And through the Word of God, he'll guide and direct us. And so last week we got into some of the stumbling blocks. And in Roman numeral 3, we had three that we noted last week. Selfishness, sensuality, and stubbornness. These are some of the things that has plagued Christians throughout all generations. Maybe you've struggled with one or more of these, you see. They can keep you out of knowing and experiencing that wonderful, perfect will of God. Selfishness, we talked about Solomon. And noted how he tried everything for self, to please self, pleasure, tried it all, had it all. And he ended up with no peace. He said it was all empty, vanity, vexation of spirit. Many Christians are there. Sadly. Why? They never pursued the perfect will of God for their life and yielded to it. I'm in, Lord, I'm in. You see? And they get distracted with other things. See? They put perhaps themselves first, selfishness, as opposed to the will of God. Sensuality, we talked about Samson. Ultimately, Delilah was his downfall, but it wasn't just her. I mean, it was one woman after the other that plagued him. And the devil knows the power of the flesh, and he's going to put that before you, try to keep you out of the will of God or causing you to fall that will yield consequences that keep you from doing God's perfect will, you see? These are big stumbling blocks. And then we ended with stubbornness last week. Noting here these last 4 points, A through D, some stubbornly refuse to do God's will, choosing their own way. They know it. They found it. But they said, no, I'm not doing it. And I don't believe we went to B. Did we go to Genesis? I don't think we did, but go to Genesis 4. And to talk about Cain. B, Cain refused God's way. And that reference was the way of worship. And a blood sacrifice was required in the Old Testament. And certainly he and his brother Abel were taught by father and mother the proper way. And of course, it was Abel who did the right thing. He had a flock, and he brought, according to verse 4 of Genesis 4, of the firstlings of his flock. And the fat thereof. So he presented the blood offering unto God. And it said the first, I mean, it was the best that he had. He didn't look at all the good ones and find one that he could spare and give it to God. And a lot of Christians will do that if we're not careful. We keep the best for self. and our energies, our talents, whatnot, but we'll give a little to God. We think that suffices, but doesn't. Present your body as a living sacrifice. That means totally, 100%. Don't yield back. When you pray, don't pray in fear, oh God, I'll do anything you want me to do, except perhaps this, that, whatever. But anything else, I'm yours, you know. Now, we may not verbalize that, but in the back of our mind, that may be the way we're praying, see? But here, the will of God was known to these boys, both of them. And it says that, verse 3, and in the process of time came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto him. So he's a farmer, see? And it was much more convenient for him to offer the fruit of the ground, what he had. But obviously, the truth had been taught because of the expectation that God had afterwards. Notice, in verse 4, and Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. So it was to Abel and his offering. It wasn't just the offering, though, as we said before, was no doubt prescribed by God and taught by Adam to his boys. Blood had to flow. And it was a picture of Christ. Throughout the whole Bible, we see the picture of Christ. But also he had respect not only to his offering, but to Abel. So it tells about Abel and his heart, where he was, his presentation. That's why he gave the firstlings of his flock, you see. Not that which he was willing to spare, but the best, the best. Verse 5, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. So his offering was unacceptable because his heart was unacceptable. He wasn't where he needed to be. Oh, he was going through the motions, what he hoped would suffice the will of God, but it wasn't totally in the will of God, see? And we're called to do that, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, totally, unyielded submission and surrender to God and the will of God. So it says, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So his joy was gone. Boy, that reminds me of Solomon. Remember the vexation of spirit, the lack of peace. You see, when you're in the will of God, things are you get a peace. It doesn't mean you won't suffer. It doesn't mean there won't be no hard things. But there'll be a peace when you know you're in the will of God. You can go through anything if you're in the will of God. He knows your heart. He knows the offering that you have. It's real, genuine. And he blesses, he'll sustain and carry you through any and everything. But here we see Cain, he's wroth, he lost his peace, the countenance fell. Verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you so angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? You lost your joy, your peace. What? He says, if thou doest well, what's that tell us? You didn't do well. You didn't do it the right way. You did it in your will, not in mine. It's a good point to note. You want the peace of God, the joy of God. Seek to do his will, not yours, what's convenient. Total surrender. You say, well, I'm at the end of my life. What can I give? Give him your all. Tell him so. Be genuine, sincerity. I'm not telling you he's going to, at 90 years old or 80 years old, he's going to send you to a mission field. I don't believe that's the case. But you can be in the perfect will of God, whatever age you are, wherever you are. And you'll find that peace and joy of being so yielded as opposed to protective and guarding of self. I'll give God a little, but I got this. This is all I got. Give it all. You cannot outgive God. To be in the perfect will of God. What a wonderful thing. Else you lose your joy and your peace. And that's what happened to Cain. He said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? Well, what was going on? It was an offering. He didn't do well in the offering, see? And he was not respected or accepted. So get your heart right, and what you do afterwards will follow the right heart. It's all you got to do, Cain. It's all you got to do. And if thou doest not well, if thou doest well, shalt not thou be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. You got a problem. and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, there's going to be consequences when you and I are out of the will of God. And it was for him. And look what happened. Cain, out of stubbornness. We were talking about some stumbling blocks for the Christian not to do the will of God. Selfishness, sensuality, stubbornness. No, I'm sticking with my way. I'm a farmer. I get all these veggies here, and I get these fruit. I'm going to provide. I'm going to give this. This is the offering I'm giving. His heart wasn't right. He was stubborn. We can be like that if we're not careful. I'm going to do it my way. I'm sticking to my plan. And that lack of yielding, that hardness, that stubbornness can preclude the peace and joy of God in your life. How much better to just yield? You say, well, there's fear involved. No, don't worry about the fear. You just say, yes, I'm all yours. Come what may. And you'll find the strength, the peace, the joy, the courage, the wherewithal to live the life he wants you to live. Wherever you are in life. Verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Boy. Bad to worse. To the worse. We do wrong things. You're not in the will of God. You just make horrible choices. And stubbornness. So back in our notes here, Cain refused God's way. See, it led to jealousy, hatred, and murder. Then we talked about, I think we went to Jonah though. We talked about Jonah's stubbornness persisted. And after Well University, I'll take just a moment to go there. And then we'll look to the suffering afterwards because that is a part of it. In Jonah, we joke about Jonah going to Whale University. He learned a lot there, and he spent a little time there. And verses 1 to 3, it said, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah, now, he wasn't going to go. He knew the perfect will of God in his life. He said no. Stubborn. In fact, went the other direction. Rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Went down to Joppa. He found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof. And went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he thought he was going to run away from God. But unfortunately, there was a cost. And that's intimated by paid the fare. And it's also symbolic, I believe, when it says, and he went down. When you and I decide out of stubbornness or whatever to not do the will of God, the known will of God, and refuse to make a change, there's going to be a consequence. There will be a consequence. And the Bible tells us you're going down. The Bible tells us the way of the transgressors is hard. You know, he made a choice. Jonah made a choice. He was going to go in the opposite direction of the will of God. And yes, the will of God at times can seem huge, can seem great. But God will provide. And I believe even in this room, there could be testimony after testimony how that when I decided to do it God's way or do what God wanted, how that he blessed me. He removed the fears. It's not that it was an easy road, but he removed the fears and he gave me all that I needed and provided. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful place to come to in your life. You say, well, I've passed that. You never pass. Perhaps there were some decisions that were made that were not always in the will of God. Who can say I've always been in the will of God? Now, we've all got a trail. We've all got some failures. But that's not where God wants us to live. We live from here. So whether I got from here all the way to the wall of life left, or I've only got one step, you know, isn't it wise? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in the will of God, the known will of God? If I've only got this step, be in the will of God. Put fears aside. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. And so he'll take away the fear. Just say yes. Be genuine. Be sincere. Thank you, Lord, for life. And Lord, I'm sorry for my failures. And you still love me. And you still have a plan for me. And I'm going to say yes. Perhaps I've been stubborn. Perhaps I've been selfish. Perhaps I've fallen to these stumbling blocks from your perfect will. But I have from here to wherever to be in your perfect will. I'm going to choose that. I'm going to choose that. Jonah said, no, I'm going the other way. And so he paid the fare thereof, you know. And there's a cost to that. Chapter 4 and verses 1 to 4. Now, this is amazing. After he went to Whale University and he get up and did what God told him to do reluctantly. He wasn't totally in submission and yielded. And here we see a replay. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Why? That the gospel he shared had some impact in that country, in that huge city. People were turning to God. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry because he hated the people and the history between the peoples. Well, I'll tell you, history with people and relationships, you got to let it go. Let it go. Let God work in your life. Some people carry a ball and chain from this, that, whatever, throughout their whole life, and they wonder why they can't experience the joy and peace of God. You can't fix everything. Leave it to God. How about just submitting to the will of God? And not saying, well, he or she, well, listen, they could include you in their thing too. You and God, submitting to the perfect will of God. What a wonderful invitation and place to be. But no, it pleased him. Verse 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? Didn't I tell you? Can you imagine saying that to God? I told you so. That's what he's saying. He said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness and repentance. You're such a great God, and I knew it. And you would be merciful to those people. And I hate them for what they've done to our people. Don't you remember that? We've always got that. We know better than God, you know. And by the way, when you choose not the will of God, the known will of God, you're actually telling God, I know better. I got a better way. And that's not true. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? God is so forgiving and merciful. Sometimes he's going to pull us out of our little hole, give us a hug, wipe our eyes. He loves us. And fathers do that with their kids. Mothers do that with their little children. You know, it's some simple thing that happened, but in their life, the balloon popping, the illustration there, the balloon pops, it is a life-changing catastrophe. Like there are no other balloons in the world. And sometimes we're like that. But what does the father do? Say, come on. Snap out of it. It was only a balloon, a stupid, you know, we don't do that. Oh, you poor thing, come here. Daddy, get you another balloon. There's comfort. There's hope. That's what God does to us. He puts back comfort and hope. And we look forward to tomorrow. It was a rough day today, but we look forward to tomorrow. You know, we have such a wonderful, merciful God. And do so well to be angry for the gourd. He got angry about the gourd. I'm telling you, Jonah made some bad decisions. And he was stubborn. He was stubborn, see? May these things not be in our lives. May they not block us, cause us to stumble from choosing and following the perfect known will of God in your life. Selfishness, sensuality, stubbornness. We move down to number 4. Because here's a reality. Here is a reality. Suffering comes into the life of the believer. Now notice under number 1, many say no to God's will because they fear suffering. Fear, and fear specifically about suffering, what it's going to cost me, be it physically, financially, emotionally. I see what you're calling me to. I often, as illustrate, look to the missionary. Because I think that's the biggest fear that Christians have. He's going to call me to deep, darkest Africa. And there's a fear involved because it's going to cost me emotionally, financially, in every way. I don't know that I could do that. And can I tell you that there'll be no suffering? There isn't a missionary on the planet, one of God's people, man or woman, that has not suffered because they're in the perfect will of God. I can tell you this, I'd much rather be suffering in the perfect will of God than suffering outside of the will of God. Number two, however, God's will sometimes includes suffering. That's the first word we write in today, I guess. Includes suffering. And then we got several verses to look at. And this is in the Bible. This is in the Word of God. So we know it's true. And God has purpose in everything he gives us. In 1 Peter 5:10, here's a tremendous verse. But the God of all grace, who hath called us. All right, so he has a plan. Unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect. That means complete, mature, establish, strengthen, settle you. So God has a purpose in the suffering. And it's in the perfect will of God. You mean God wants me to suffer? You're saying that's in his perfect will? He knows the value of suffering. We learn so much. We learn far more in our suffering than we do any other way. So often in our society, in child rearing, Dr. Spock's philosophy has been employed over the last 50, 60 years. And many, a Christian even, has turned from biblical instruction and direction to inflict some corporal punishment, some suffering to the child because they don't want to hurt the child's psyche and whatnot. That's Dr. Spock philosophy. They try to reason with the child. The child's a child. There's no ability to reason in adult fashion. God says, pain, suffering, lessons learned. Don't touch. Don't touch. Don't touch. They've learned the authority, loving authority. I'm not talking about beating children. The world uses that. Dr. Spock used that as their defense in debate, that his way's better. It's not better. Because what God has designed is creating a proper relationship of authority and obedience, their will versus yours. What often they point to is when the excess that is exhibited, even among Christians, when the excess of discipline and suffering do hurt the child, because we're not to break their spirit, but we are to break their will. There must be a learning of a young person, and the younger they learn it, the easier it is for them to follow it as they grow. To yield their will to the will of the authority. And you'll find that those children are raised under biblical instruction and authority with love, tend to follow that direction with God, because they take and transfer their love and obedience and respect for the authority of dad and mom, and they ascribe it to their father in heaven. God's design, God's plan. That's in the will of God, you see. And but pain was involved. And the Bible tells us that there's going to, after you have suffered a while, 1 Peter 5:10, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, mature. Not, that's not sinless perfection. Mature, you grow up. Establish you. That means you're secure in your footing. And strengthen and settle you. Settle gives you a peace. To be in the will of God, there's a peace that comes with it. It's not just worrying all the time or concern, you know. And it's not that, you know, worries don't come into life, but I'm saying, I know I'm in the will of God. So when the storm comes, I'm in the will of God. He'll provide. How scary it is to come upon a storm in life and know that you're not in the will of God, that you're on your own. I mean, you can but beg for the mercy of God because of my stubbornness or my determination not to be in your will, but in my own will. Lots of lessons, lots of lessons. And God teaches lots of these lessons with some pain. Now back up a chapter, 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. In other words, he's faithful. I can trust him. I'm just going to go ahead and do what he tells me to do. Come what may. Come what may. And that could be difficult for some. I'm trying to think of the last name of the family missionaries. And they're in a foreign land. And a family of five, I believe it was. And the father was killed. And they came back. She came back with her five children. And she prospered. God blessed her. They were in the will of God, had been in the will of God. Was there suffering? Inconceivable. But God kept her, kept the children. Because it's in the will of God. When you're in the will of God, you say, well, gee, I ain't going over there if I get shot or something. I got news for you. You can get shot here. Anywhere. Stop worrying about being called to the mission field. Be surrendered. If he calls you, it's one of the greatest callings there is in life, I believe. Missionaries, way up here. The rest of it, they surrender all, submit all. And that's where we need to live, where he has us, in the perfect will of God. But it may include suffering. 2 Timothy 3. I say it may. Wrong word. It will. Life includes suffering. I'd rather be suffering in the will of God. In 2 Timothy 3, notice verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall be spared any suffering or persecution. That's not what it says, is it? No, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're going to run into some hard things. So we're warned of that. We're planned. That's part of it. And but God has a perfect plan. And ultimately is to strengthen you. To use you, bring you to your fullest potential for God and the things of God. So that those songs we sang before we started the lesson today, speaking of heaven and meeting God face to face, in spite of all your failures that are under the blood, you had chosen to live in the known will of God. How much greater will it be to see him in his face rather than to in great shame? I don't know, but I would say in truth, who of any of us, missionaries included, can look him straight in the face, you know, certainly not with pride. And there is a humbling, falling to our face on the ground. I can only imagine. So, the Bible cites many examples of those who suffered because they obeyed the will of God. They suffered because, now, the truth is they will suffer anyhow. But here's examples of those that suffered. And Genesis chapter 6, in the will of God. Now, I noted several. And why did I know several? Because I think it's important that you know it wasn't this one, two, three guys that were exceptions to the rule. No, we have a list of people. And all various types of suffering, different ones. Notice in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, we're talking about Noah. Number one, Noah. And verse 14 says, make thee an ark. And he goes on to describe God telling Noah what to build. An ark. What's an ark? He had no idea what an ark is, what it was. Well, it's a big boat. And God was going to tell him and give him the blueprints, so to speak, how to build this thing. Mind you, nowhere near water. Nowhere near water. And he's building this thing. Now, some 120 years of building goes on. Can you imagine? Imagine the ridicule, the embarrassment, the questions in his own mind. But in the notes, A, God's will seemed absurd. Absurd. Why such a big boat? Why an ark? How about a canoe? How about a little boat? And by the way, we're nowhere near the water for this huge thing. It seemed absurd. And sometimes as we pursue the will of God, it may seem absurd. Me? I can't tell you, I've always been kind of a loud person. You probably didn't know that. But I know of a lot of pastor friends, their testimony is I was always so shy and so quiet. This idea of being called to be a pastor, I just couldn't see it. I couldn't picture it, you know. To them at that time, and for whatever time it took for them to submit, the will of God seemed absurd. I had a question. I can imagine, I'm not just throwing a number out there, but half of the missionaries must have gone through that. Me? Go there? To those people? I'll have an impact with them? I think that often the absurdity in our carnal mind, in our limited finite mind, keeps us from taking that step. But not Noah. Isn't it amazing? Now, obviously, he had a relationship with God. For him to go ahead and say, all right, that he went to build this boat. I mean, back at verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of the heart of his heart was only evil continually. But notice verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, of the Lord. There was a relationship there. And if you and I are in a relationship with God day by day, then it's easier for us, regardless of how absurd it may sound, to surrender to that perfect will of God. Those that have done great things for God had vision that God gave them that took them beyond the initial carnal or finite mind assessment. This is absurd. Me? And yet some great things have been accomplished through men and women who said yes. And it's because they had a relationship. He walked with God, see? And so he bore that. B, the people surely mocked him. C, yet he was obedient. And this is amazing, but notice verse 22 of 6. It says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So he did the perfect will of God for his life. And by the way, that's why you and I are here. Aren't you glad he did? You that love your little puppy, your little kitty cat, they're here because Noah said yes to the will of God. Amen? He got them all on the boat. And another verse that says that is chapter 7, verse 5. It notes again, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded them. Him. He did all. So he had to be willing. He had to accept it and then to do it. And that's a whole nother matter. But can you imagine the physical suffering? Building this ark day after day after day, year after year, decade after decade. The people in that town, that community, must have had a great laugh. And their children laughed because they laughed. And the grandchildren laughed at that old man. He suffered, no doubt about it. Genesis 22, it talks about Abraham. Did he suffer? Well, it'd be hard for me to consider an emotional suffering more than this. Number two is Abraham. Write that in. A, he was told to offer his son as a sacrifice. Really? You talk about absurdity. Notice verse 2 of 22. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, God knew him, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's the known will of God for Abraham at that time. Now, notice number two, B, the will of God seemed extreme. Seemed extreme. You know, yeah, I'll give my son to you, Lord. I'll prepare him for the will of God in his life, and maybe you want him to pastor. You want her to teach in a Christian school, or you want him to be a missionary. My daughter be a missionary. And there's this willingness maybe that far. This goes beyond that. This is, I want his life. And then C, nonetheless, he obeyed the will of God. Look at verse 10 of Genesis 22. And it says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And of course, an angel came and stayed his hand. But he was willing, wasn't he? Sometimes the will of God can seem absurd or even extreme. But those that are walking close to God and have a relationship with God have an easier time to say yes. If you're not walking close to God, you will come up with every reason in the world to say no to the known will of God. But remember, no peace, vanity, vexation of spirit outside the will of God. Yes, suffering. Now, there may be some suffering in the will of God, but there's peace, there's joy, there's satisfaction, there's a delight. And every single Christian is presented with the same dilemma, proposition, proposal. And it's for each one of us to decide, yes or no, the will of God. Whatever reasons, stumbling blocks, the devil will provide all the stumbling blocks that he can to keep you out of being in the perfect will of God. But it's always good to choose the best. All right, I guess we got to stop there. We'll pick up with number three next week. Father, bless our lesson. Help us, God. Mature us. Cause us to desire and the wherewithal to submit to the perfect will of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.